I would like to start by talking about typewriters.
Okay.
I'm 28, and I've certainly done a lot of typing over the last 10 years, but I've never actually physically used a typewriter. You've had the experience of writing on a typewriter and then transitioning to a word processor. So I'd like to know, how is the transition, or what is the contrast between working in those two forms?
Well, there's the both the mental and the physical contrast. You know,
okay.
Of course, you've got to pound the keys on a typewriter. I actually was spent yesterday typing, because I'm typing some stories to put up on the wall of my exhibition. I thought I'd keep it in theme and type them on my old Remington office typewriter.
Nice.
And I was pounding away all day at that, swearing a bit as I made a few mistakes and got out the whiteout. But when I went back to the keyboard on the computer, it just felt very strange. It was just like this wussy little tickling motion compared to what I'd been doing all day. So there's the physical side. You're actually really pushing. People apparently don't get RSI when they type all day, but people doing delicate movements can get problems in their neck. And it's I think typing makes you clarify your thoughts. I think it's a little bit like dictating something. You've got to work out what you're going to say before you type. Otherwise, you're going to be spending a lot of time retyping because you don't have cut and paste as you do with word processing.
Yeah, that's a concept that I'm just not familiar with at all. When I first started a computer, it's always you can just go back and change it. You mentioned whiteout before, so you can use whiteout and then go over the top?
Whiteout, and before the last gasp of the typewriters was when they had autocorrect and the golf ball typewriters and electric typewriters, which had this automatic sort of white and correct, a little white thing on the typewriter ribbon.
But that
was it before everyone started getting computers at home.
Don't you have to wait for the whiteout to dry? It's such a physical thing.
It's got a lot of toluene in it. It's like nail polish. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Probably doesn't smell great.
No.
Got to be in an aerated situation.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that the kind of old memory of using a typewriter, which you had kind of recently, has played a bit of a role in this exhibition.
Well,
I paint
everything from life. That's something particular about me. I don't paint very big paintings, but I like to work from life, whether it's a still life or a landscape. And I work quite small because there's so many things I see and notice that I want to paint. So I don't spend too long on one painting. But even with my still lifes, I paint them in the open shade of the light well of our house, not inside. So I'm not a studio painter. But one day my son had come home from Melbourne and I wanted to show him how things were done, and I pulled up my old office typewriter, which had languished beneath my desk for quite a few years. It's really heavy, so I use it to glue things down a bit, but I hadn't used it for years. And I said, this is how you type a letter. And he had some Japanese friends around, these sort of 19, 20-year-old girls, and they thought it was fantastic. Felix said it was steampunk. That's the phrase, you know. Then after that, I left it in the kitchen for a week and I typed a few letters to friends. It was like reviving this old memory, because I used to spend a lot of time typing. And then I took it down to the light well and started doing a painting of it. And that started the ball rolling with typewriters. And then I told a few friends and they said, oh, well, I've got an Olivetti Laterra and I've got this certain typewriter. And everyone had a story about typewriters. And in fact, there's a great story about an Olivetti Laterra. Cormac McCarthy wrote The Road and All the Pretty Horses, all his books on a little Olivetti typewriter, and then he put it up for auction for a charity, and it went for $254,000 in this charity, just because of its provenance, because it was a battered old thing. And after that, a friend found one in a second-hand shop for about $19 and gave it to him. He kept typing away. I think he still uses a typewriter.
It had the same function, but because of the mystique with that. It's like I think...
The talismanic, I think, was the word used.
The Eric Clapton, his Stratocaster that he was using in the 70s, I think sold for almost $1 million.
Wow. Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. Also, you mentioned still life before. Mm. You've been painting for quite a while, but still life is a pretty new thing that you've been doing. What was the catalyst?
Yeah, well, it wasn't really till I turned 60 that I started painting still life. So maybe when I was younger, I used to think still life was a very bourgeois sort of art practice.
Okay.
And, I avoided it for those sort of reasons. I'm not sure. I've never really, painted vases of flowers. But it was about 3 years ago, I went to the Art Gallery of New South Wales and I was looking at a painting by Velasquez, the great Spanish painter. And in one corner of the painting was this red onion with beautifully painted white hairy roots. And I thought, that's so beautiful. And I went to the Harris Farm shop and looked for the hairiest rooted onions.
Okay.
Took them home and just put them down on the ground, on the concrete, and started painting them. And that just started the whole thing off for me.
Wow.
And after that, I kept, because I do a lot of the shopping. I'm one of those people who shops every day and selects the fruit and vegetables. It's a bit of a daily routine. And and I usually cook. So I decided, you know, my art should be about my life, and shopping and for food is part of my life. So I started a whole series. And it wasn't until actually about 6 months ago that I got onto eggs, because my partner Jan said, "What about eggs? You've never painted eggs."
Mm.
So I did a whole series of just two eggs, quite simple paintings.
Oh, wow.
I said to her, they require care, eggs,
yeah.
The way you paint them. You can't be too expressionist here.
You've got to nurture them. It's interesting, facilitated by the Harris Farmers Markets. That's where the first onions that you painted came from. That's cool. There's also, in this exhibition I've seen, there's some kind of local landscapes. Mm. I understand you've been more gravitating to painting what's going on in this kind of local area.
Yeah, I think maybe, I don't know if it's to do with being older, but I love walking around, and I think the more you walk or the slower you go, the more you actually see. And there's a lot that I think there's a lot that's close at hand that's really beautiful. And so I've been, you know, just going down to Rushcutters Bay Park. I live in Darlinghurst, and you know, I might do a painting in a back lane of King's Cross, you know, walking home with my bag of hairy rooted onions. I might look up at the back of a building, you know, in a certain light and think that's a great subject. So I'll go back there and do a watercolour. Or I've been going to the edges of the harbour. There's certain places I really like to paint the harbour from, Nielsen Park and Chowderhead and the edge of Mackell Park. So I've been doing a lot of harbour scenes as well.
You mentioned watercolours. This exhibition, it's largely oils
and
watercolours.
Largely oils, yeah.
Is that your medium of choice?
It's been my medium of choice since I was 17 or 18.
Oh, wow, okay.
I've tried acrylics for a couple of times, but I never really got into them. And I was just happy with what I knew. Maybe it's conservative of me to not try new things, but... And I think it takes a lifetime to learn how to use oils in a way. You know, I'm always feel I'm learning something, and even the colours I have on my palette are evolving all the time as I get older.
It's interesting. So the still life component is very new, but the oils and watercolours you've been using for your whole career.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Now, it is opening next Wednesday, I believe.
Yeah, it's open to the public from Tuesday.
Oh, okay. Okay, next Tuesday.
Yeah, that's the opening is on Wednesday night, but the it's open from next Tuesday.
Okay,
and
perfect.
For 3.5 weeks.
So if people want to come along and check it out, where can they find the details?
It's, if they just Google King Street Gallery on William, they'll go to their website and they'll see all the details. Yeah,
perfect.
It's down the hill in William Street from the Coca-Cola sign on the southern side of William Street.
Great. Mm. Well, Tom, thank you so much for coming on and having a chat to me today about this exhibition.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.